meth. Look into that.
No Curtis and Gary?
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Mr. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh, yeah, it's showtime.
Let's go.
Time to make it do what it do.
Yes, sir.
Never gets old, fellas.
Never.
Talking sports with the 12 men coming right at you. What? That's what we do. We are ready to kick this off. The month of September is upon us, gents. From our Virgos and Leos, the month is over, but that's okay. We can kick it back again, man. So, again, let's get it started. So much things to talk about. Man, I'm excited to see you guys again on the Zoom. A lot of love. Curtis and Gary, you guys just practicing the Robert Ford method is getting in there, but it's all good. Welcome aboard. And let's get this party started. And again, we know what Rob had for dinner, so we're going to come back to him in a quick second. But JQ, I see you, bro. I see the hat that you rocking, bro. That's what's up, man. What's going on, man?
Yeah, with all that old school one on there, I had
old school one on.
No, man, I thought it was the old school New England Patriots.
What is that? That's Mr. Red.
I think the old school New England Patriots are over.
Okay.
It's going to be new school Patriots.
You know, with the passing of Tom Seaver today, you know, RIP to Tom Seaver. I figured I'd put my Tom Seaver jersey on for it. You know, legendary pitcher for the Mets. You know, there was no hitter for the Reds against the Cardinals. I sent you guys that picture where the next day Frank Sinatra performed at Riverfront Stadium and he was there, and Sinatra saw him in the audience and pointed him out in the game with standing ovation. And he did it against the Cardinals, which also makes it so much better. So, you know, R.I.P. Tom Seaver.
Yeah. I tell you, it's been a rough week when you talk about Tom Seaver, you talk about John Thompson, Cliff Robinson, Lute Olson, Chadwick Boseman. That's like five since Friday or so, right?
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
It's not good, man. Tom Seaver, he was nearly a Brave, believe it or not, too. There's an actual story about that. I don't know if you saw that as well, but it's one of the situations, too. He was going to be Atlanta Brave, too, but just they signed him, actually, in 66, but they lost him on a technicality, believe it or not. So that's just one of the situations where you never know what would have been different, but one of those things that happened. So, again, bad luck.
I would have ruined
that. But, no. Rob Ford, how you doing, bro? How you doing, Rob?
Man, doing good, man. We got another Game 7 going on right now. Rockets up by five.
Good game.
I gotta say, too, the NBA playoffs have been really great basketball, man. I don't know, they must be like doing that on purpose now, but it's been really great, exciting, too. So,
yeah, been a lot of great games, a lot of great finishes, and the game even earlier tonight, man, what a crazy finish.
mm-hmm.
You know, I guess it evened out with the two bad calls, but, I mean, like, wow. that's only the third time in playoff history we had an end of the game with walk-off free throws.
Yes. The refs should be ashamed of themselves in that game.
Let them play. Let them play, refs. Curtis, Gary, how you guys doing, bro?
No, we're doing all right. Doing all right. Hanging in there. You ready to talk some sports? You know, you were mentioning those losses we had. You know, Uncle Cliffy here. I remember I was at this club back in the day when he was playing with us, and he had just missed two big free throws. Cost us the game. It was against the Jazz. It was a playoff game. And we ended up winning the series, but he was in this club that night. We had a game the next day. And I'm like, what are you doing here? You should be out shooting some free throws. We You gotta be at that foul line. He got shamed out of there though, but you know, he was a lot of fun in the city. You know, we'd see him at the international car shows, and you know, see him all over town, and you know, he had his weed shop here. You know, made a lot of money doing that.
I guess.
I heard about that.
Yeah, Rob,
I hear about that, Rob.
He's a nice guy, really nice guy.
Well, I got a different story. He was in the bathroom with one of my friends, and you know, I was hanging with some real roughneck guys, and something happened in the bathroom in this club, and my friend said something to him, and Cliff told my friend, you know, I'm a pro ball player, and my friend told Cliff, if it ain't football, you'll get your ass kicked up in here.
Oh, wow.
It ain't football.
I thought Shaquille O'Neal had an interesting story about him earlier this week. Shaquille O'Neal was like, you know, when they used to play against each other, Lakers against the Blazers, you know, Shaq would post them up down in the paint. And Cliff Robinson would always tell him, when he had to come out and guard Cliff, Cliff said, now you got to bring your big ass out here to the three-point line and defend me.
you know, that's one thing that, you know, that Shaq used to say about trying to guard Sabonis, because he said Sabonis was big enough where I couldn't push him like I could push the other guys. But then I'd always have to run out this if he'd hit a three on me. Yeah.
Yep.
That's crazy, too. Uncle Cliffy was a great player, and ironically, yeah, his only All-Star game was there. He played with the Trailblazers, too, man. So that was his first and only All-Star, by the way, which is crazy, man. So just a great player,
year,
a lot of energy. Yeah, he was Sixth Man of the Year, like you said. Second-round pick. You talk about a guy that just made the most out of his career, another guy that made the most of his career. You know, he actually helped the Huskies win the NIT. I mean, just I was a big fan of him, man, so I'm glad to see him, you know, do his thing, man. So just,
one other point on that is that he was really a catalyst for getting UConn basketball under Jim Calhoun into being a major powerhouse, too. And so he was like one of the first big-time players to really take that basketball program to another level.
Yeah,
but I want to bring up something. Cliff, Uncle Cliff, and the whole Blazers team was on the floor when Magic Johnson did that little with the clock running out and the last final shot to the game. Remember, Magic rolled that little ball down the court, just lightly rolled the ball down the court, and everybody on the Blazers team was standing there with their mouths open, looking, trying to figure out what happened.
No one would have thought about that. So. High basketball IQ. You're right.
Oh, man. What a mess. I'll never forget that. I'm yelling at the TV, somebody get that ball. Somebody get that ball. And they're standing around. They were lost in space. Magic pulled one off big time.
That's awesome. No, good stuff, guys. And again, we're not getting sponsored by them yet, but a huge fan of I think I told you guys about the podcast, The Knuckleheads, with Darius Miles and Clint Richardson. They do a fantastic job of, like, kind of recapping a lot of these great conversations. They talked about, you know, they talked to Isaiah. They talked to – I mean, there's too many, like, names to call. Shaq was one that was also in there, and he talks about that. And Isaiah talked about, you know, when I think about, you know, smart IQ play – he talked about how, because I guess remember his pass got intercepted in obviously in the playoff game, and he said ever since that he was never allowed to, like, you know, throw in the ball, do the inbound pass ever again. Ever since that one, he's like, ever since then I'm no longer allowed to do the inbound pass, which is crazy, man. So just crazy how little things like that happened too. But man, guys, I meant to literally throw the number to the show. I don't think Lou's going to call in, which is fantastic, but it's all good.
Oh, man.
I'm just saying.
You just say that on live radio, Andre.
That's okay. We'll see if he – well, I don't know. It's all good. It's good to have different opinions, but I don't know. It is what it is.
Number
424. I scared. 24. Everyone was thinking it. 424-243-9519.
Hey.
Follow us on Twitter at the number 12 THMAN Sports. Follow us on Facebook.
One thing to think,
everyone.
One thing to say it on live radio.
Is he gonna listen to the?
Rob's already gone.
No.
You just threw out the numbers in Rob's con.
Uh-oh.
You know it won't go to the amount of time. Like over under is 3.5 minutes.
Hey, I stayed longer than normal, man. I stayed longer than normal, man. I was over tonight.
You definitely get over tonight.
We gotta give. I mentioned the Facebook page. We gotta give Rob a shout out. I know we like picking on him, but good job again, Rob, for posting the early NFL mock draft. Kind of a quick thing about that. We gotta talk about the NBA mock draft as well too. So we're gonna talk about that. There's been a lot of movement, gentlemen. If you have been paying attention to what's going on, with a lot of college players opting out, so we're looking to talk about that with college football and a lot of people too, man. So, and then obviously Alvin Kamara, talk about that for the Saints. Let's get into it. We'll let JQ talk about some Big Ten stuff too. But let's do a quick recap on the Jazz and the Nuggets. Jazz and Nuggets, if you will. So yeah.
Oh, you know, great series, great game last night. Low scoring compared to a lot of the other games in the series, but incredible finish. You know, you can debate on Denver, Jamal Murray, you know, pulling the ball out there at the end of that game, dribble it out, maybe get fouled, and but to give Utah another chance at the end to hit a 3-pointer and hit a walk off three, turned out to be a great finish. But overall, an incredible series. Really a great display of guard play by Jamal Murray and Donovan Mitchell. It really just shows you, you know, how great, you know, the young players are in the NBA right now. I mean, when you think about Luka, you think about Donovan Mitchell, you think about Jamal Murray. I mean, the league is set up for long-term success with a lot of great players. So a phenomenal series. And like I said, Donovan Mitchell and Jamal Murray didn't really have their best game in Game 7, but overall in that series, phenomenal basketball by those guards. And like I said, you couldn't ask for a better Game 7 on last night, too.
Yeah, and I tried to tell y'all about a year and a half ago, and y'all laughed at me when I told you about Jamal Murray. Oh, especially those guys.
Nobody laughed at
he ain't that guy yet. I don't know what you're talking about, JQ. He ain't that guy. He probably just went completely off against the Jazz and had a coming out party. So I was actually happy for him. He's actually been playing good ball, but just kind of gets lost in the shuffle and to have this phase to do it. And then his, I don't know if you saw his interview afterwards, very, very powerful as well. You know, he was trying to hold his emotions together with the game and then being in the bubble and what's going on in the world in terms of, you know, the pieces with the social media and social reform as well. So, shout out to him. But yeah, that was crazy. And I love, just to finish it off, I love the sportsmanship when the game was over and he went up and picked up Donovan Mitchell and gave him a hug and was like, dude, you were phenomenal. This was a fantastic series. And had Donovan Mitchell actually receiving and taking, like, you know, thank you, and that piece of it. So I really enjoyed that from start to finish. That was a fantastic series.
And Joker was the one that came up big last night with over 30 some points, 14, 15 rebounds. He was the one that really came up big for Denver on last night with some clutch plays down the stretch in that ball game too. And, you know, bringing Michael Porter Jr. off the bench and what he was able to do last night in that game too is was really good. I mean, they possibly could probably have a good young big three right there with Michael Porter Jr., Jokic, and Jamal Murray. And then some other pieces too on that
Gary
team
Harris.
Too. Harris, Gary Harris, Grant, Paul Millsap, and so it's going to be really interesting. I mean, as of right now, I can't see myself picking them to beat the Clippers, but I think you can see a series that goes 6 or 7 games.
I'm gonna ask JQ what he thinks. Go ahead. He's gonna fire. Go ahead.
Well, you know what? In order for them to be competitive, Denver to be competitive, the Joker is going to have to be, you know, that dominating force. They need him.
and he's a special player, no doubt. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the guy that that can make them competitive with the Clippers. If I were going to pick one guy, it would be that guy, because I don't know who on the Clippers can handle that guy.
Well, what I wanted to say about last night, it's too bad, and I'm trying to figure out Rudy Gobert's real role in the NBA. If that boy would have hit more shots, they would have been beating Denver. That guy was missing a lot of shots at point blank range on his putbacks and everything else. He just, Gobert doesn't have any, it almost seems like he has no offensive skills at all. And that was a liability. That was a huge liability for those guys last night. And if he could have just come up big on some of those putbacks, Denver would have been in a lot of trouble. And that was tough to watch, Gobert not getting that done down there in the paint.
Yeah.
And is that Micah calling in, by the way? Is that Micah?
Yeah,
he's Micah calling in.
That might be Micah. What's the area code?
360?
Yeah, that might be him calling in.
Is that you, Micah? You're on. How are you, man?
Yes, it's me.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Micah.
I'm doing
Thanks
okay.
Thanks for dialing in again.
What's up, Micah?
Appreciate you.
We appreciate you
Micah,
checking in on Gary. Make sure he's behaving.
I got to say really quickly, too, if you're on the Zoom, I know we're showing our age here, a lot of us. I love the cap that we can bend it like this. I hate those straight bills, man. I'm just saying, straight up, man. The fact that you
can
say,
same here, man.
I
can't get with the straight bills.
Me and JQ, we just like, you know, we kind of like built it, and it just makes me like, you know, proud because before.
All four of us.
I'm
with the curve hat, man. I can't get with the straight.
I hate those.
I gotta
take it and I gotta bend it. Whenever you got a hat, you know, you gotta take, you kind of bend it and you made it like kind of fit your head, and it just felt like it was kind of cool, man. So that's kind of cool to see everyone kind of copy this style, man. I'm like, man, this is like awesome. But
you guys can still rock that straight bill look if you wanted to. You look like a couple of fools.
I look like a fool. Listen, I went to go buy a hat and went to do like that, and I just said, ooh, man, yeah, you know you old school. You're here trying to break the rim in as you try to hat it off.
Nice.
Yeah.
We're going to let Micah join in a quick second, too. But Curtis and Gary, really quickly, I do want to ask you guys. I've given it enough days to kind of like let you guys get over the Blazers, but you know, what a phenomenal series by Dame again, Lillard again proving himself. As Blazers fans, what do you think you guys need to get you to that next level? I mean, again, Dame got hurt, definitely kind of hurt the momentum with that. But if you're like this, I mean, and you got to be honest, and, you know, Carmelo was playing fantastic, you know, the great move, you know, Whiteside was, you know, so what do you think you guys would need, if you will, to kind of get to that next level?
Well, first of all, the West is just fat. You know, I mean, it is. I mean, you know, Golden State's going to be great, you know, good again. The Lakers, you know, and then all these teams that are in it now. You know, we got a tough division in itself with, you know, with Denver and, you know, and Salt Lake and, you know, it's tough. So they're going to have to make some sort of move. They're probably going to have to move on CJ and try and package some sort of a deal where they can bring in like a small forward, like a good small forward. That's what they need. They need a nice wing out there that can score. They've got enough with some of the other guys young guys that they brought up for the guard position. So I think if they brought in another wing and we were able to obtain, you know, the talent that we had here, and, you know, it's really, you got to stay healthy. So as teams, you know, if you can get to the end of the season and you compete and you can stay healthy, you can compete with these guys. But if they don't make the moves, I think they got to split up Damian and CJ. And I think
What if I keep hearing about LaMarcus Aldridge wanting to come back?
No, you don't need no LaMarcusology. One of the things I've always talked about, what we have now, we need, I've always said this, and I've said this to Gary, we need Nurkic to be a better player and want to be a better player than the Joker in Denver. And I want him to have a chip on his shoulder because he got passed up. They had both of them in Denver, and they threw him away. And if I was a psychologist and a coach, I would convince him that you got to prove to him that they – prove to Denver that they made a mistake. They made a huge mistake by giving up on you. That's one thing that I would do. And I would – take a dog and hot sauce and pepper and shoot it up Whiteside's butt and slap him around. Because I need my Whiteside to be that monster. I need Whiteside to be beating people up out there right now. If Whiteside,
I didn't know this was coming. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. You're asking me what the Blazers mean. Somebody needs to convince Whiteside that he's the baddest dude in the league and start out there and start scaring people and start knocking some people out. And then we got Carmelo, we got Rodney Hood, and we got that. We're good at small forward, but those two guys, Nurkic, convince Nurkic he's better than Joker and get Whiteside to scare people in the league, and we will be on our way. I mean, last year we were in the NBA final with that
Western Conference final.
That's why I was asking the question.
This team is capable to be in that Western Conference final, but those two people have to come to play. Yeah, Ariza and Hood.
Yeah.
We got some players. We got enough. But Whiteside got to get his head out of his butt, and Nurkic got to get even more meat.
Well, and JQ, you were talking about Aldridge. You know, he's been wanting to come back for a bit now. And LaMarcus, he told the Blazers, "Hey, I'm staying," and then he goes. But when he left in some really bad terms. And here's what happened. All those ads that you see Damian Lillard on with those Adidas ads and all, those were supposed to go to LaMarcus. They asked LaMarcus first. He said no. Then when they started going and really going good, he said, "Hey, I want those ads. I'm the star of this show." He said, "Well, I'm sorry. You've got that." So here's what he was doing. The Blazers would come in, and they would be parked. You know, their plane would be parked. And they'd be waiting, 45 minutes, an hour, hour and a half for one player every game, and it was LaMarcus. And the last game before he, fled Portland for San Antonio, they didn't know. And they were waiting, and finally someone came up and said, "Hey, he flew out of here a couple of hours ago."
What?
So they took off, yeah. So I would be shocked. I had an opportunity to talk to some of the Portland Trailblazer brass about this, and they said, "Good riddance, was nothing but trouble."
Yeah.
He had, and you never saw it on TV. You never saw it. I never knew that. Until I heard that, and then I saw for myself, working some of these NBA charters out. And you think the last straggler out there every single time.
Gary, you made some interesting points earlier here when Andre asked the question about, you all about the West just being loaded. And it's true. And when you look at, we've obviously already talked about Portland, but just think about some of the teams in the West that's just been eliminated here in the first round. We already talked about Utah. When you look at Utah, this team has got Mike Conley, Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, three guys that have been NBA All-Stars on this in this league. Then when you look at Dallas with Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis, if he's healthy. And so, I mean, that's a team that you're going to have to be reckoned with for a long time in the Western Conference, too. So, I mean, those are just a few teams right there that just got eliminated in the first round. And then you look at a few teams that even missed the playoffs in the West. Look at Phoenix. They went 8-0 in the bubble. And you got that's
Phoenix
a team that had Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton. So they got a big and they got a wing player that can score.
And
they're
going
to be a terror. So what?
And they got
Oubre.
Yeah.
Rubio, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, the West is definitely deep.
Solid point.
And I think it comes down to, you look at Portland, they made it to the Western Conference Finals last year, and this year they're out in the first round. I think it comes down to which teams here in the West gets hot at the right time. And I think that's what it all comes down to on the year-to-year basis.
Yeah. Well, Golden State had that lock hold on the West for a long time. And it opened it up. This year opened it up because of their power.
Wow.
But one of the things, like I said, for Whiteside needs to beat up Tre'Mond Green.
I don't like it, too.
I mean, he really does. Because Tre'Mond Green does a lot of damage to Portland. And if we got somebody that can throw him in the stands a couple of times, we might be able to beat that Golden State team.
Hey, I want Micah to join in too. Micah, do you have anything to say, or you want to kind of? I don't know if you want to talk NBA, or I know you've been pretty quiet, so I wanted to give you an opportunity to kind of throw your thoughts in as well.
It's so funny.
Go
ahead, Micah.
I just don't know how Portland got out of there, but I agree with some people about, like, every year you have to see how they do, and I'm not trying to talk trash, but Golden State might be better a couple of years, but.
Yeah. They're coming back.
Yeah.
They're back with a vengeance.
And they're healthy, Golden State is healthy. They're right back in the mix with Curry and Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins, and they got a number two pick in the draft. So whether they trade them or right now I got them taking a LaMelo Ball with that number two pick. But, if they keep them or trade them,
Sean
either way, you're going to get something for that pick.
Yeah.
Draymond might punch LeVar in the face.
Draymond may not be on that squad next year because there's a lot of things that him and KD didn't get along, but they're not happy with that, too. But we're going to talk about it later. Hey, really quickly, we've been talking so much on the first two topics. Hopefully we can be really brief to do a quick takeaway from the Celtics-Raptors series. Obviously, Celtics are up 2-0. I was texting you guys. It looks like the Raptors may be in trouble. Is this a surprise, JQ?
They are in trouble.
Kind of like, yeah, I mean, are you surprised, JQ? JQ was not. He's the one that was like, yo, they don't even need Gordon Hayward. They can do it without him, So now JQ is like looking like he's like the king right now. What you say, bro?
Hey, man, I told you. When that was happening, I was like, Boston and Miami are making me look, like a savant right now. But honestly, what I saw happening was that I just felt like, Siakam is nice, but again, and Kenny Smith makes a good point that, he was used to being Robin and not being Batman, and now he's got to be Batman, and he's not used to being in that role, and that takes time to grow into that role, where I think the Celtics haven't established, one, two, three, three guys that are unselfish and playing really well, and Brown, Tatum, and Kemba Walker, and then you let, Marcus Smart get hot like that with his flopping.
Marcus Smart was
crazy. But if he gets hot like that,
yeah.
Then, who do you slack off of when you guard them? So that's what I was saying last week, that Boston is so deep that they're going to be a problem when all three of them come and play, and they have, and they are being unselfish in their ball playing. If you get hot, I'm going to give you the ball. I'm going to play off of you, and vice versa. And then with the Heat, Jimmy Buckets, game one, 40 points.
Jimmy Buckets,
and then today, they had seven dudes go in double figures against the Bucks today. Jimmy Butler
Hero
was the seventh
man.
Score on that seventh one. You know what I'm saying? So he was the worst double-digit guy today. He went from 40, I think, down to 13 in the same game, and they still won game two. And we talked about the rest, and that was crazy. But still, if you're Milwaukee and you're the one seed and you're letting that team and you got the defensive player of the year and you're one of the best defensive teams in the league and you let seven dudes go for double digits on you in a game two, in a game you have to win, tells me a lot about Milwaukee. They're both of those guys are in major trouble. The Heat, I mean, the Raptors.
Yeah.
And the Bucks.
Yeah.
I mean,
and when you look at that Boston, you look at that Boston team right now, they just have more dogs than Toronto. And, you know, we talk about this all the time. When you get to the playoffs, you have to have guys that you have to have some stars on your team. And Boston just has more dogs. You know, you look at this Boston team this year versus the Boston team last year, and you're like, what's the difference? I mean, Milwaukee just scorched Boston in that series last year, 4-1. Kemba Walker's a huge difference. You know, a lot of people thought it was going to be a drop-off from Kyrie Irving to Kemba Walker, but actually that's been an upgrade. It's been a huge upgrade. When you look at Kemba Walker's athleticism and what he's done on the defensive end, he's proven to be a much better defensive player than Kyrie Irving, a much more unselfish player than Kyrie Irving. Actually, that's been a huge upgrade. And then Jaylen Brown on the defensive end has been flat out phenomenal. And he has been really frustrating Pascal Siakam, too. And that's another one. You know, Brown has given up some inches, but he has given Pascal a lot of fits. And then the role players for Boston, the Robert Williams coming off the bench, you know, showing his athleticism. Toronto has been having problems with him as well. And Marcus Smart, I mean, we hadn't seen this all year out of him. The way he's shooting them, we knew he could defend. But the way he was hitting three-pointers in that fourth quarter yesterday was huge.
Yeah, he's killing it.
You know, we hadn't seen that side of him all year. And this Milwaukee team is running into Giannis is running into the same problem that LeBron ran into early in his career with Cleveland. He just don't have enough weapons around him. They're great regular season, but he just don't have enough weapons around him to win a championship. And that's what Giannis is running into in Milwaukee right now.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty scary. Yeah, they
what happened
what
to
say too,
what happened to Whiteside? What happened to Middleton? You know, this is a stand up or shut up. Giannis might need to start punching some guys out in the locker room because he needs those guys. He can't win it by himself. But they pay Middleton some money. And I've seen Bledsoe shoot down the Blazers here. I thought he was the best guy on the court at that time I saw him here. Where are those guys? Why aren't those guys doing anything?
Bledsoe actually hadn't played bad, but it's just he just doesn't give it to you athletically, but he actually hasn't played bad in these first couple of series with 28 points game one, 23 tonight. You know, he hasn't been horrible, but, you know, Milwaukee just don't have it.
Where's the defense? Like where's this big defensive team? They out there, you let seven dudes go for double digits in the game you have to have, and you let Jimmy Butler go for 40 in game one. Like, the team that is, like, where are they? Number one?
They're punking
him. Defensive ratings as a team? And they just getting walked.
Going Dragic is outplaying Bledsoe, too. Just really outplaying Bledsoe.
They getting close, man. Mike, what
we got a good game going here. Houston only up by 2 or 3 minutes to go.
Let's go, OKC.
Mike, what you got, Micah?
Micah, you on?
No.
He's thinking.
Houston's playing, but sounds like it's a good game back there.
Yeah, OKC, yeah. And just I'm not trying to pour salt in that wound for the Blazers, because what I was trying to get to as well is just having that dog and that fight, because you need to have that type of leadership to be like, all right, this is a situation where what's that missing component that you guys need? And Curtis, you were talking about that, just having that man. We got to have, back in the day, Jordan was like, yo, we are not going to lose this game, y'all. I mean, you got to have somebody that's going to get up in there and be like, yo, let's get to the next level. I mean, you know, there's only so much you guys can do. So that's all I was trying to get to as well, too. But
even with the stars on your team, you always want those guys, those guys, just like what Curtis is saying, that are just like Draymond Green has been, you know, he's been that guy that sometimes it doesn't even fill the stat sheet. But you know he's impacted the game because he's just frustrated. player after player on the opposing team. And you need those type of guys. I think those Morris twins are kind of like that, where they get and they just start pissing people off. And, hey, you need those type of guys on your team. Those are the type of guys that like for the Blazers, they're lacking someone like that. They need someone that's going to go out there, and if someone gets in their face, they're going to fight. You know, they're going to, you know.
Like the Charles Oakley, Xavier McDaniel type players.
That's exactly what they're missing.
But, I mean, Draymond Green is a perfect example, because he's not playing that old ball like I used to like that.
Right.
But he frustrates you and makes you mad enough that it impacts the game. And like I said, I can see Whiteside being that guy, but I don't see him doing that. But Whiteside,
like
Steve
Wallace. Steve Wallace kind of like that too, right?
He really could be that move.
Hey, we're having some fun here. We got about 50 minutes or so here. Hey, Rob, I do want you to talk about the mock draft, if you will, because I know I'm curious about where you're going to have my Hawks taken as well, number six, and the Warriors is where my Warriors too. So what you got, man?
All right. So we'll do a few little quick updates and get some of my notes here. I got Anthony Edwards, number one in Minnesota. Golden State, I haven't taken LaMelo Ball at the number two spot right now.
Wow.
James Wiseman, the center from Memphis, I have him going to Charlotte at number three. Tyrese Halliburton, the guy who I say is the next Andre Miller, I have him going number four to Chicago. When you look at that Chicago team, they got some scoring guards, but they need a point guard. Tyrese Halliburton could be the perfect pick for them at four. They got Kobe White and they Zach LaVine. But they need somebody out there that could run the show, and Tyrese Halliburton could be a perfect fit for him. Obi Toppin, I have him going to Cleveland, going from Dayton to Cleveland, staying in Ohio. I have the Hawks at number six taking Onyeka Okongwu, center from USC. He's about 6'9", 6'10", got a wingspan of about 7'4". He's a beast. Shot blocker, rebounder.
Undersized, but
but he's going to make up for it in a lot of other areas. Detroit, they got him taking Killian Hayes, point guard from France. And Killian Hayes might have an opportunity to rise in this draft for a lot of NBA scouts. He could be a real star. He's about 6'5", point guard with about a 6'10", wingspan, great defender, great speed, great vision on the court. He's a guy that could probably could grow here, move up in the draft a little bit, even though I got him right now at number seven. A couple other players. The Precious Dude, I have him going to Sacramento. I always tease him about the Precious Dude, but let me tell you about Precious Oshawa, power forward from Memphis. I got him going 12 to Sacramento. He's a hard-nosed player with a lot of energy. He's an enforcer type, so he's going to be a guy a lot of teams are going to want to have on their team. He's going to be a guy that a lot of teams are going to want to have him on their team. He's about 6'9", 240 pounds, a defender, rebounder, runs the floor. He's going to be that all-hustle guy for you. Aaron Nesmith, small forward from Vanderbilt, tremendous shooter, might be one of the best shooters in the draft. Have him going
like
number 13 to the Pelicans. Cole Anthony, point guard from North Carolina, going to Boston at 14. I have Vernon Carey from Duke going to Orlando at 15. And you want to know what the Blazers? I got the Blazers taking Sadiq Bey, small forward from Villanova. Perfect Bruce Bowen-type player. Spot-up three-point shooter, tremendous defender. He's going to be a coveted player in this draft in those middle picks here. Trey Jones, I got him going 21 to Philadelphia. Jalen Smith, the big 6'10", 6'11 center from Maryland, got him going to Utah at 23. And I got the Knicks taking Josh Green, shooting guard from Arizona. And the Lakers taking Nico Mannion, point guard from Arizona as well. But just a few of the picks in the first round.
Nice.
That's a good pick for LA. They need a point guard.
He's a quality point guard. Not the best of athletes, but a real heady ball player, real cerebral ball player. Be a good guy to come off the bench.
They need somebody to start.
Oh, here you go. Man, come on, man. I mean, you get lucky to find a starter at 28.
I'm just telling you, bro. Rondo about 58 years old. They need a starting point guard.
Oh, man. Hey, your boy, Nick the Quick, still available. Hey, good job on that, too, man. Any updates real quick on Big Ten, JQ?
Man, these dudes can't get it together. They talking about now, it went from Thanksgiving to talking about moving in the beginning part of October. It's like, just, you messed it up. So I guess the beginning part of October, just keep them a couple weeks behind the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12. I think that's their best option right now to still be in the conversation. I'm on the internet, man.
I'm on my phone.
Yeah, this is nuts.
I'm behind. I'm on the internet. I cut the cord. But that's just really where they are. They're talking about
Houston.
October right now, so we'll see.
Houston gets it. Man, they won by 1.5. Okay, all right. 1.5, JQ. Hey, Rob, really quickly, I do want to get these last couple tops here. Do you think early opt-outs going to become the new norm in college football?
I think JQ and I were texting back and forth about this a few days ago. I think you're going to see more. You saw Jamie Newman do it for Georgia today. LSU's got hit with two, Jamar Chase and Tyler Shelvin. He's a guy that could possibly be a first-round or second-round pick out of LSU defensive tackle. So that's two big losses right there for LSU. But it's not just them. There's been several other players that have opted out. So it's probably going to be more. And especially these guys that have an opportunity to go real high in the draft this year. It's going to make you look at Caleb Farley, cornerback from Virginia Tech. He's opted out. I got him going 15 best player in the draft next year. So he's another big time player that's already opted out. And so it's going to be real interesting. It's sad, obviously. But with the environment we're in right now with COVID-19, there's still so much uncertainty with college football right now. I mean, you can't say you blame no players, but it is sad to see.
Yeah, you guys just take care of themselves, and I don't necessarily blame them. I mean, it sucks for us as fans that want to get that last hurrah out of them. But with all this going on and moving the season back and the coronavirus, they're like, yeah, I'm just going to look out for me. You're going to get no more unpaid labor from me this year with this going on. So, I hear you, Rob. I agree. But it's just, you know, it is what it is for them right now. We just are in a crazy year.
Mm-hmm. Mike, if you have anything to do, go ahead and jump in, too. I know we're going to save the topic for Curtis and Gary about what will it take for the Cowboys to win the Super Bowl this year. So we're going to let you have a moment for that. So stay tuned, guys. If you look at the top, I know Curtis once again talks about the fact that the Cowboys can be about 43 players off the street from Philadelphia. So we'll talk about that in a quick second here. So any update, Rob, on the Saints and Alvin Kamara?
Well, yeah, obviously there were a lot of rumors taking place on yesterday in regards to contract versus a trade and et cetera. It seems as though that a lot of that was overblown, and the Saints and Alvin Kamara are working really hard to try to get a contract extension done here before the season done. Mm. And he returned to practice today, and Sean Payton says he's every bit about week one game plan. So it looks like, I know there was some talk about the New England Patriots wanting to trade for him, but it looks like he's going to be a Saint for the foreseeable future.
Curtis' favorite team.
Cutting some new.
But
Patriots cutting new after giving up a second-round pick for him. That's crazy.
Say what?
Did they really?
Patriots
they really
cut Thomas and new. Yeah, they said they're going to cut him after giving up a second-round pick to get him.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I love that, too. Yeah.
Bring him home, CD. Curtis.
It's going to be interesting what kind of team the Patriots throw out there this year because I'm becoming, we tout Bill Belichick as being the best in the business. But if he can somehow manage 9 to 10 wins out of this team, then he really is the best in the business because he's lost a lot of players to opt out. And when you look at their roster, yeah, they have a lot of quality backs. They don't have any great ones. They don't have any great wide receivers or tight ends. The offensive line is okay. They lost a lot of the big players on defense. So how does this team win 5-6 games this year?
And he just gave away a second round pick for like six games. That's crazy. Second round pick is draft gold.
They got it. They can get another one. They ain't worried about it, clearly.
Yeah, but you guys were talking high on him early. And I told you it was going to be six games all along. And I told
him. Yeah. We'll see, man. You better hope that. You better pull JQ out of your hat. Hey, Curtis Gary, what will it take for the Cowboys to win the Super Bowl this year? Uh-oh.
Oh, that's easy.
Okay. We're going to start off. Okay.
Okay. Micah, stay tuned.
Okay, that's 17, 18 weeks worth of crossing your fingers. Stay healthy.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be tough.
Social distancing.
First of all, though, the good news is I was something's going on with in Philadelphia. I guess Carson Wentz has lost a offensive tackle or something, and also he's
been
injured.
Andre Dillard.
So I think this is great. This is typical Carson Wentz, season's about ready to start, so let's really do it up and, get injured. But that's good for the Cowboys.
He is.
That puts them in a good position. That way we won't have to go against those 67 players.
Off the street.
Off the streets and
pick them up at the Greyhound station.
And that tells you to stop thinking they're a better quarterback than Carson Wentz. But Dak needs to be a better quarterback. I tell you, here's the ball game. How good a coach is this
season last year?
How good of a coach is this coach that they have? If he's as good as the coach is advertised, and he can connect, and he can get his message across, they're going to win the division. Step one, win the division. And then this guy, he has been in a few of the NFC Championship games. What does he know that the division doesn't know? And what does he know that can get the Cowboys to the NFC Championship game? I think it's all McCartney thing. And I think it's him and his staff. If they connect and the Cowboys buy in, they're going to be fine. It's going to be all on McCartney.
McCarthy.
Whatever.
Yeah, did you see that? Did you see that the other day? Where they held practice with no numbers? Because they didn't want people to get any information off of it. Did you see that?
That was great.
The Cowboys?
Yeah,
the Cowboys did that.
They did all blank jerseys. Because so the people at the media, anybody that was trying to watch it, they wouldn't know who was who, basically. And so they couldn't get a read off of who they were judging. They trying to put in the start lineup and trying to get a read off of. So they had them all practice on blank jerseys. So
they had seen the Patriots jet in Dallas. And there's a flop house over by the practice field. And they thought, they put two and two together there. And
okay, this is my question. This is my question. Did all those defensive players and all those players opt out before or after they picked up Cam Newton? Does anybody remember?
Before.
I sure hope so.
It was before. Come on, you stop trying to cause controversy. It was before.
He is looking for any thing he can find to crap on their brain.
Beautiful.
I love it.
I think a lot of them were after was JQ.
Yeah.
I think it was before because it was a while before they signed Cam. Those dudes kind of came out early.
They signed Cam way back in June, didn't they? A lot of those players just stopped it out in July the closer they got to training camp.
It wasn't in June.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to go with Rob on this one.
Nice.
I mean, I don't think Cam Newton is the reason they opting out, though.
Hold on, let's see. I still hope not. Let's go to the table.
I mean, maybe they don't want to see the press conferences with the red, white, and blue scarves and the short suit jackets and the short little.
You know, he's a different.
The Houston bodyguard scarf.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a different guy. So, you know, I just had that thought this morning watching training camp and watching Cam dance around. He's doing a lot of dancing.
It's tough because Cam Newton signed the last day of the month in June, man. So that's kind of tough, man. So it's almost like July, but it's like the last day in June that he signed with the Patriots. So it's a little interesting, a little nugget, if you will. So, anyway.
And this is like the fifth straight NBA game in the playoffs where it's come down to the last second of the game to decide who wins.
Yeah. Yeah, this is – Mike, you got anything to say as we wrap this up?
I think the Cowboys, if they do actually win the division, they should have – I'm not saying they have a chance to make it to the championships, but there's other teams out there that might be better than this.
Who would you who in the NFC East, Micah, would you put above the Cowboys right now going into this season?
I'm not just talking about the East. There might be like other teams out there that. They're from different positions that might be.
Like the Eagles.
I wouldn't say that the Eagles are better. I disagree with Curtis. I think that Dak Prescott definitely a better quarterback than Carson Wentz. That's my opinion.
I've said it before. Personnel-wise, the Cowboys have the best talent in the NFC East, and they are definitely the favorites to win the NFC East. I think overall in the NFC, I think two teams you got to watch is the Saints and the Vikings, and Tampa Bay. Those are going to be some teams to watch. You look at what the Vikings just did now to go with Danielle Hunter. They got Ngakoue. I'm probably pronouncing the name wrong. Defensive end from Jacksonville defense. And then now you're seeing Leonard Fournette going to Tampa. You give them another weapon on that offense, too.
Oh, my God.
The NFC is looking really loaded. I hadn't even talked about them.
NFC West, with San Francisco and Seattle.
Yeah.
Those are two other
and an improved Arizona 15. Team. Look out for them, too.
I'm waiting on Arizona, but you named all five right there that are legit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Rob, really quickly, let's get ready. We got like a couple minutes left in the show. Let's talk about the top prospects for the 2021 draft. I know right out the gate we got two top quarterbacks. JQ is – I'm sorry you got to get a chance to see Justin Fields, but at least you get a chance to represent.
We're playing, bro. October 10th. They're going to have to do it.
Rob, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Rob.
Posted it on our Facebook page along with the latest NBA mock draft. I posted the top 32 players in the draft for next year. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, 1 and 2. Panay Sewell, offensive tackle from Oregon. Very athletic lineman, powerful. Have him number 3. Jamar Chase, who just opted out, have him number 4. And I was just listening to an NFL scout. They said Jamar Chase was responsible for about 7 cornerbacks draft stock last year falling. Michael Parsons, a linebacker from Penn State. He's the Isaiah Simmons in this year, in 2021's draft. He has that kind of versatility from Penn State. Gregory Russo, edge rusher from Miami, another player that's opted out. Maybe the best defensive end pass rusher in this draft. And he's already opted out from Miami. Sean Wade, cornerback, Ohio State. Patrick Surtain, cornerback, Alabama. Another quarterback to watch, Trey Lance, quarterback from North Dakota State. Have him number 9. I'm going to skip around a little bit. Devontae Smith, wide receiver, Alabama, 12. Dylan Moses, linebacker, Alabama, 14. Caleb Farley, another guy, cornerback, Virginia Tech, opted out. Jalen Waddle, wide receiver, Alabama, 16. Rashad Bateman, big wide receiver from Minnesota, number 17. Marvin Wilson, defensive tackle from Florida State. Now, he's a guy that I previously had in top five and even top 10. Came in a little overweight, but if they can get him back in shape, this kid is a beast. He's about 6'6", 320, 330. He might be a little heavier than that right now. They got to get him back down a little bit. But a tremendous athlete for his size. Another guy from Oregon, Javon Holland, safety from Oregon, number 20. Travis Etienne, the best running back so far in the draft, number 21, out of Clemson. Number 23, Kyle Pitts, tight end, Florida. Rondell Moore, a wide receiver from Purdue. Another guy, return punt, a good wide receiver. Another Ohio State guy, Chris Olave, wide receiver, Ohio State. And last but not least, Olave,
Deep,
my bad.
Ohio State.
Paulson Adebo, cornerback, Stanford, number 32.
Bro.
Olave, yeah.
That's a good draft. And, Rob, like we talked about, man, right out the gate, man, I know we were kind of like watching, we're going to talk about the draft, too. Thank you for posting that on the page, too. Just to kind of take it really, really quickly back to basketball, I guess I got to apologize because actually James Harden made a defensive play, man. I've been giving him a hard time, man. So he actually made a block, man. So good for him, man. He needed to step it up, too. So really good play. So anyway,
he played dodgeball.
Yeah, didn't he?
Yeah.
It was able to do the split.
Good job, Gary.
I didn't know that man could do the split. Oh, my God.
And he's like, oh, it's like, yeah.
Like
I was trying to see Chris Paul and James Harden greeting each other. I know they said they kind of left on bad terms.
Yeah.
That's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
Well, Chris Paul's a gamer, and he really played well in this. He had a triple-double.
He had a heck of a game.
Yeah, a little bit I watched.
And Lou Dort, man, the kid from Arizona State, man, he came up big.
He was 30, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 30. First undrafted player to get to do that, something crazy like that they were saying. What was that?
Yep.
I just saw a stat about that, man. So, yeah. Man.
Our four seeds move on in the West. So the West will finally start playing the semifinals when the East is already going into, like, game three tomorrow night.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow. Lakers and Houston, we got to hear JQ's thoughts about that, again. And then you got the Clippers and Denver, so that's going to be a really good series as well. JQ, you scared, bro? You shaking your boots, man?
No. Of course, Oklahoma City would have been an easier role for them, but this has to be another AD scenario. If you're going to put somebody that's 6'8 on him and P.J. Tucker, you have to feed the beast. Anthony Davis should touch the ball every time on the block when he's in the game and running through him down there because you make him double-team it, and then you let them play off of him. If they're going to play small ball, if you got a 7-foot superstar on your team, you let him go to work and eat. Barbecue chicken is what it should be in that series.
Dang, not barbecue chicken. Not barbecue chicken.
Russell Westbrook is just not playing well. So if I'm the Lakers right now, I'm not worried about Houston, though. I mean, obviously, you got to play the games and you got to beat them. But Russell Westbrook is just not playing well. And I just don't think that's going to translate very well in that series against the Lakers. I don't think it's going to be close. I could see a 5-game series in that one.
I say 6. They'll be hot in 1 or 2 games from 3-point line. Outside of that, it should be Anthony Davis going for dessert.
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We just ended our live portion of the show. We still got a little bit more to cover in our OT portion. Next week, we're going to be on the air on Thursday night. I hope that's good with everybody. Thursday night on next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. We're going to be on the air on Thursday night on next week. Click on the same link tomorrow and the rest of the week to get the rest of the OT portion. We still got a little bit more to cover. Next Thursday night, NFL opening night, Texans and the Chiefs.
Wow, yeah. Absolutely. Looking forward to that. I ain't got too much more to add to that. I appreciate everybody listening to the show. I'm glad my boy Joey Votto walked off on the Cardinals today on Tom Stevens' night of passing. And, like I said before, he no-hit the Cardinals for his only no-hitter, so I think that he was just up in heaven orchestrating and pulling the strings. So, RIP. Tom Seaver. Y'all have a good night tonight.
Well, when we're on the air next Thursday, we'll be watching football.
Yep. I think the Chiefs are going to have about 10,000 to 15,000 fans in the stadium.
Well, that'll be unusual too, won't it? With what we've been watching, really?
Right.
Fans?
Yeah. Oh, that's not where I thought you were going with that. I thought you were going to say that.
No, no, no. I mean it. I mean what we've been watching, you know,
yeah.
To have any kind of fans in the stadium is going to be weird.
I agree.
I think it's going to be great.
I agree.
You're looking at baseball and the NBA, we've kind of gotten used to seeing no fans.
Right.
Yeah,
I really hope that they
work it right. They stay safe. They have them social distance. You know, of course, in a big stadium like that, you're going to have distances. But I mean, when the people are leaving, when they're coming in, these sort of things. If they have that down right, and there's not a spike, because we won't see it. We won't see it for a couple of weeks. That's what's kind of scary.
Yeah.
So if they were all doing it correctly, this could be a great thing. If they don't, we don't want them screwing with football. You know, NBA and baseball is bad enough, you know.
The NFL will be the first league in this pandemic to try to get from the start of the season to the end of the season. Baseball didn't have to do it. Basketball didn't have to do it. Soccer didn't have to do it. This will be the first attempt to see if we can get through the whole season.
Here you go, Andre.
Let's see it. That's going to be interesting because as of now, nobody had to do it. Everybody's season got shortened or hyphenated. The NFL is going to try to do a start to the finish. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, you're right, Gary. What they basically have to do is, you know, for those 10, 15,000, they have to tell them, you know, this section has to go through this gate, and, you know, you can only come through in this time period, and sections off like that, and then limit them only to those reception stands, to those bathrooms. It can be safely done when you can reduce the capacity down to 20-25% of the stadium. That can be done if they do it the right way. So
it can be done.
I'm
I agree.
To see
I agree.
What their game plan is for that and see if other cities follow that after that and get that going because it can prove that we can still go out and watch the games and have fun responsibly and not have any spikes in the face.
Yeah. They have it safe enough, too, like you talked about. And if they can do
like
25 people. Go ahead, Gary.
They're really strict with that, with the face masks and things like that. I hope they, it's got to be up over your nose or you got to get out, whatever, you know. I hope they're really strict with that because we don't want
you
to affect.
You can social distance in a row, though, man. You can have a whole row by yourself, man. This is my section. What? You can go crazy, man, you know, if you will, man. But, I mean, again, it's just you have to be responsible and – I'm hoping for the fans' sake, if one goes down, it goes down for everybody, you know. So, again, the Kansas City will kind of be that test game to see where it's going to happen. And, okay, this is good. Okay, maybe we'll allow this. But like I said, if anything goes wrong, it's going to cut it for the rest of the games, man. So they got to be very careful with that, too. I'm going to leave you guys up to literally go around the room. If you want to talk about anything, Mike and you as well, the floor is yours. And we'll get ready to that. And we do the last kind of like final roll call. Anything you want to talk about this week, you have your moment, and then we're going to wrap up the show. So we'll start as always. We'll kind of go back around. We'll go like West Coast. You guys will have your start. Micah, then Rob, JQ, then myself. What you got?
I want to talk about Alvin Kamara. And what I was looking at today was, okay, you got Dalvin Cook waiting to get paid in Minnesota. You got a few running backs, and I know the NFL and teams have been struggling with the values of running backs. And that's the issue that I'm looking at with Alvin Kamara and what their value is. And surprisingly, guess what I think? I think they're paying Dak Prescott the right amount of money. I really do. No matter what him and his agent think, I think Dak Prescott, and I saw him in a couple of commercials today, I think Dak Prescott better not have any money this year. That better not be on his mind. But with these running backs, that's tricky. And Fournette and Kamara, Alvin Cook, there's a few others out here. Watch the money these running backs get. And you know, pay attention to that.
It's really amazing how that running back position has just devalued over the years. You know, in years past, you had running backs, they were the highest paid, you know, or to the quarterback, the highest paid on the team, and very close, very competitive with the quarterback. And now that teams have gone to, you know, a different football, they've just devalued that altogether. But, you know, I do want to just touch base. You know, I thought that I want to touch base on the Portland Trail Blazers. You know, when they came into this and they fought hard to get into, you know, the playoffs, and they ran into a Laker team after the first game that said, oh, yeah, we're not going to be doing this shit again. And, you know, put the hammer down on us. But the last game that Portland played against them without Damian Lillard, I thought they played hard. They had 9 guys. And they played tough. I thought Carmelo Anthony came out, DJ came out, Nurse came out, and I thought they played him really tough. And they lost it there at the end, you know, where they just, you know, you wear down, you know. And the Lakers, you know, proved that they were the better team. But you know, so that's I like the heart. I like the heart. I like what they showed me. That's what I'm saying. As a Portland Trailblazer fan, I'm proud to be one, and I'm proud that they went out fighting.
Good game. Yeah, nothing to be ashamed of, 100%. Really good. Micah, you got to say anything?
I have a couple, yes. About the Golden State Warriors, do you think they have all their players healthy and, like, how are they going to turn out next season? Because when I started watching some games this year, like their season started to be rocky and it really wasn't like playing like a team as they used to be. Like, so I'm hoping for a better season next year, but
oh, they'll have a better season. They'll have Clay and they'll have Steph back. They got Andrew Wiggins, as Rob mentioned, so. You know, again, good squad. We're not sure what's going to happen with Draymond. That's a whole other conversation, if you will. But this year has allowed those other second-tier players to kind of actually get better, to literally, again, add to what Steph Curry's already brought to that. You know, so then, plus they had the draft
pick,
too, if it's going to be LaMelo. Pascal played really well, too. But, yeah, you know, obviously you got to figure out what's going to happen with the draft pick, too. Is it going to be Anthony Edwards? Is it going to be Wiseman? Is it going to be, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. So that's going to definitely add some more talent. It's almost like stealing, man. You got a squad that just had 2 injuries, and they're going to end up getting a top pick. Kind of reminds me what happened with the Spurs, you know, whenever they freaking got Tim Duncan. You know, they had freaking David Robinson, and here they go. They're getting Tim Duncan. So that was just like a win, win, win. So, you know, so same thing. So this year, the West, you know, I'm not saying they're going to happen this year. They probably have another season to kind of get their stuff together. Then they'll be right back on top of the league, if you will. So, so yeah, that's my thoughts on that.
Then,
go ahead, Michael. My bad. Go ahead. Finish up. My bad.
How do you think the Seahawks are going to do this year for, like, besides with the injuries reporting, like, last year, and, like, how our defense is going to do, and, like, if Chris Carson is going to have a better season than he did last year? And
well, you mentioned running backs. You know, Curtis just mentioned about running backs and contract situation. Chris Carson is one of those guys, too. Last year of his contract, he's trying to So it's Chris Carson, Delvin Cook, and Alvin Kamara all trying to get new contracts and where they fit. You know, I don't think any of those guys are going to get Christian McCaffrey money. And, you know, but Joe Mixon just got 4 years, $48 million. You might see Kamara and Cook in that same ballpark or a little more, and maybe Chris Carson somewhere a little below that in his contract situation. But what was the rest? What was the other question about Seattle?
About, like, well, besides Chris Carson getting, like, fumbles last year for us, which was disappointing, but, like, our defense, how are they going to turn out, and, like, what standings is going to look like?
Yeah, I like the Seattle team. Then when you add Jamal Adams from the Jets, LSU, of course, and I like the Seattle team. They're the team, in my opinion, they're the team to beat in the NFC West. I like them more than I like the 49ers. They got an improved wide receiving core. They have an improved offensive line. Pete Carroll and the general manager have invested in that offensive line quite a bit via free agency and draft. So I actually like the Seattle team. I think they're the team. We talked about all of these teams in the NFC, and Seattle's right there. They're my pick to win the NFC West this year. And,
wow.
And Pete Carroll's got the studs on the defense now that he had, you know, in their last Super Bowl run. Not saying they're going to be in a Super Bowl, but I like them to win a division.
Okay.
And don't forget about Russell Wilson. Whenever you have a transcendent quarterback, and you put a little pieces around him, you always have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's true.
Yeah,
this is going to be his breakout year. I agree with Rob. I agree with JQ. This is probably definitely the year for Russell Wilson to break out, man. He's been on the cusp for, I mean, obviously going to the Super Bowl twice, but this is like, I think he's like everything that's coming together.
This is
know,
his team now.
Time.
This is not about the defense and running game. They're going to have to open that thing up and let Russell Wilson be Russell Wilson. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, but I'm saying like everything that's coming together is what I'm saying. But this is his time to shine, if you will. So you talk about like he's in his prime.
He's shined every year.
Yeah. Yeah. This is not a knock. Again, I'm with you. I'm just saying this is like, this is, okay, this is the time.
It's a philosophy.
Like, and he's, yeah, I agree. JQ, what you got to say, man?
I was just going to touch on it. Rob touched on it. Very happy for Joe Mixon. The Bengals gave him a chance and nobody would touch him with a 10-foot pole after he knocked that chick out on video. And him to come
gosh.
In, and he's really been a – he did. I mean, that's what happened.
I know.
So for him to come in
and be
a – I mean, people don't forget, especially people in the social media age. They do not forget. They will come and get on your rain on your parade, especially when you sign a 4-year, $48 million deal. But he's coming to Cincinnati and really embraced it and been a model citizen, and it's about that organization for giving him a second chance. He's come out and said he wants to be a Bengal for life. He wants to retire with Joe Burrow. He wants to be the Joe and Joe show. I love to hear that kind of conversation because you very rarely get that for anybody playing in Cincinnati, if you're being honest with yourself. So for them to sign, you know, take a chance on him, for it to work out for him, to get rewarded, and then to continue to want to be part of that franchise, want to be a co-face or, you know, to be there with Joe Burrow to try to bring them back to some level of respectability makes me happy as a fan. I don't know how it's going to work out this year in terms of wins and losses. But having people to say, hey, I want to be here and try to promote that team and be an image and be about that positivity, I'm 100% for it. So shout out to Joe Mixon getting his money. I think Alvin Kamara makes more money than Joe Mixon in that contract. Dalvin Cook is a different one because he got hurt. He's had one really good year. How much do you want to put on that? So I think he lands probably right around that little money, maybe because he's got the contract after him and he gets $50 million over 4 years instead of the 48, but I think he lands in that same category. I think Kamara, deservedly so, should get more than Mixon and Cook.
And lastly, America, I was not saying that I forgot about what the – I just was like, man, that take, that was such a long – that was – man, again, wow.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
It's been a minute.
Yeah, so much
it's been a minute. Yeah,
right.
I got you. All right. Good job, guys. Man, if you don't have anything else to say, Rob, let's go ahead and end this another edition Talking Sports 12 Man, man.
Yep. Only thing I'll close with is Spencer Rattler, Lincoln Riley, got another quarterback, fourth year in a row with a different starting quarterback this year. It's going to be really interesting. Five-star recruit, broke all kind of passing records in Phoenix. Spencer Rattler, redshirt freshman. I expect big things out of him, and it's going to be real interesting to see. You know, I think he's closer to a Kyler Murray type player, mobile in the pocket. He was one of the top dual threat quarterbacks coming out of high school. So look for Lincoln Riley not to miss a beat at quarterback this year. And he's had three guys in the Heisman conversation in the last 3 years. I'm not sure if Spencer's going to be that number, but he's going to be close.
Quarterback.
That's amazing.
And unless he opts out one of these years, he's got at least 2 years for playing for Lincoln Riley. So he might finally get a quarterback for 2 years in a row. So a little college football in Oklahoma season opener here is September 12th. It's a couple of not this Saturday, but the following Saturday. So it's going to be real interesting. But as Andre just mentioned, we're going to go ahead and close it up for tonight. Once again, we're going to be back on the air on next Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we always got to give our friends in Hawaii a shout-out, right? 5 p.m. in Aloha, 5 p.m. in Hawaii. We'll be back next Thursday night, people. Good night.
I'll be in Charlotte next week. Yeah,
give a shout out to my baby girl. She's turning 12 on Friday. So, everybody out there, y'all wish a happy birthday for me.
Happy birthday.
So, I'll be doing
happy
that
birthday.
With her.
Happy birthday, baby girl. Good job. Yeah, I'll be in Charlotte next week, fellas.
Your wallet on
Friday. Quick trip.
I've already spent.
Good job. Hey, Curtis, Gary, we always appreciate you. You know, your awesome feedback and awesome stuff. We'll talk about next week how you guys became Cowboys fans. I'm curious how people in Portland became Cowboys fans, so I'd like to hear that story at some point, if you will.
Oh, yeah, make sure that's on the topic. I got one for that.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Bandwagon fan.
I'm going to show you a picture.
From Portland all the way to Dallas, come on.
Mm-mm-mm. Part of America.
Well, I think I told you guys I was born in Wichita Falls, Texas. The Cowboys are a birthright for me.
Oh, well, Curtis, you get a pass then.
My uncle's contract company built Texas Stadium.
Wow.
I guess we all have that bandwagon team. Me with the Yankees, Andre with Golden State, JQ with the Lakers, and Gary with the Cowboys.
Yeah, I've been a bandwagon.
I can pick whoever I want to pick. We didn't have no team.
Well, you still had to pick a good one to be a bandwagon like I did. New Orleans don't have a baseball team. I picked the Yankees.
And I'll say this, too. Curtis and Gary really quick.
But I got
about
my childhood. And my dad went to Columbus East High School. And like I said, there's a bunch of guys from Columbus East High School where my dad was going to high school in the NFL. And Floyd Little for the Denver Broncos lived in my neighborhood.
Wow.
And my dad was taking me to football games. I was in the first grade. And he knew guys that played football. You know, that worked for his friend's gas station. That's the tickets we got. They were giving us tickets. They weren't making any money.
Can
you imagine Floyd Little living in the same neighborhood that I lived in Denver, Colorado, in the 60s or 70s?
Wow.
That's great. The only thing I say is my dad was a truck driver, and we used to live a lot of places, and I actually had to stop. We lived in Bryan and College Station, Texas, for about, I want to say, 2 or 3 years. And that's really close to Texas Aggie, you know, territory, too. So, obviously, at that time, this is whenever Danny White was the quarterback for you guys and, you know, for the Cowboys. So, you know, obviously, I had a little Danny White jersey. But that was, you know, that's kind of like I was just there for, like, a small segment, too. Because, you know, it's true, man. If you're in Texas, you're a Cowboys fan, you know. So, That's how it was, man. So that's my little story with that. So not that I carried on because I just moved around so much, but it is what it is, man. So, you know, again, that's why I'm not as hard as, you know, on you guys as Rob, man, because I kind of understand that too. So where you are. So, yeah.
You know, even being here in Houston, it's, you know, Houston has their own football team, but there's probably more Cowboys fans here in Houston than there are Texas fans. And it's pretty close to more Saints fans here in Texas too.
a lot of the Saints moved from there, and then obviously Houston, it's like I said, an expansion squad that's been trying to gain ground, and they haven't really been that great. So unless they just like came out, like gangbusters. The Oilers are technically Texans, if you will. That's a whole other conversation, but you know, it is what it is.
Titans.
I got to get that throwback Warren Moon jersey with the Oilers.
I meant to say that. That's what I meant to say. I meant to say Titans.
Yeah, that'd be a great jersey.
My bad.
Mm-hmm.
You tell him sleeping.
Hey, like I said, I'm
there
with that. I want to play. And he got an Atlanta jersey, too. The guy that was doing the funky chicken in the end zone.
Oh, Billy White, too, Jeff.
I had a narrow one, and I gave it to my cousin.
Yeah. You know, a friend of mine is really good friends with him, and he just calls them White Shoes. What's up, White Shoes?
Billy White Shoes. Well, I went to high school.
He always wears white shoes. He always wears white shoes. No matter what it is, it's awesome.
That I went to high school, he was at Punahou High School. I was at Radford High School in Hawaii. Tom Tuanei. That was the tackle for the Dallas Cowboys in the when they won the 3 Super Bowls with Emmitt Smith and Troy Aikman and them. One of the guys that I knew from high school was their left tackle.
Entire staff of the NCAA to be furloughed. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
All right, gentlemen. Like I said, you guys have a fantastic week. I'm going to check out. I'll see you guys next Thursday. I'll be in Charlotte again, so we'll have some fun. Keep it going, man. You guys have a great week. Happy birthday, baby girl. See you guys. And, Rob, give us an update about your job, too. Hopefully you got some good news as well, too, man. So, yeah, give us a heads up about that next week for Texas, okay?
Sounds good. I might be on the move again.
Oh, wow. We'll talk, man. Looking forward to it.
All right.
Nice.
We'll see. All right,
brother.
As long as I can get
Buddy
Pass
to you.
Portland and Buddy Pass as well. We'll talk soon, man.
You don't want him. You want mine.
Yeah.
Gary, we'll talk, man.
Gary's got the seniority. So he just told you he's got the seniority.
Gary, I'm going to need you. Gary, seriously, I'll show you some love. I'm going to need for, like, when I go to Amsterdam. That's the one time I'm calling you, man. So we'll talk, man. So that's
you
what I need,
you
man.
Do.
Yeah.
What you trying to go do in Amsterdam, Drake? What you trying to do in Amsterdam, man?
Stop it.
My goddaughter's in Amsterdam, as a matter of fact. I got some family out there. He works for Adidas. You know my cousin, so he's pretty big. So that's the one really big thing I'd love to do. So to get out there next year. So
gonna be watching you in Amsterdam.
Well,
no troubles.
At the moment, we need better leadership because I don't know any country that wants us Americans in their country.
That's why I said next year, man, because even my cousin's like, I don't understand USA, man. We have
so
locked down. We're not having any issues like they're having. I'm like, I don't know what the problem is, man. So, yeah, that's crazy. So I couldn't go till, like, they won't even let me in until next year. So, yeah, it's all good. Anyway, guys, get some rest, man. We'll talk. I really appreciate you guys, man. So a lot of love. Get some rest, Rob. Be good. You guys are great, man. We'll see you guys same time. Mike and Colin as well, man. Appreciate everyone.
We'll hook you up. All
right. We appreciate you guys.
All right, fellas. Yeah, have a good one.
Much love, guys.
Talk
to you guys, man.
All right.